Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
You know, we're all wired to worship and to live and express faith in someone or something. Which faith is true? There's a lot of belief systems out there. And next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study which faith you can count on. Stay with us. That's next on Daily in the Word. You know, there sure are a lot of belief systems out there and a lot of people that claim to have the corner on truth. But the fact is, there's one set of truth that you can count on. There's one God and one word that He's given to us. Amongst all the faiths, there's one that rises above all of them. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to answer the question, which faith? Welcome to this program, Daily in the Word, that features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and it's our joy to open God's Word with you. And today we're going to answer the question, which faith? By the way, don't forget you can find out more about this ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can subscribe to the Daily in the Word devotional and the podcast and listen to this program at your convenience on your phone or iPod or computer. All of that and much, much more is found at dailyintheword.org. But first today, we're looking at Exodus chapter 20 as we study today, one way or many ways. Here's Paul Chappell.
In that we worship the God of the Old Testament, and we worship Him in the form also of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are the Godhead. These three are one. And we learn in the Word of God concerning the nature of our God, that He is self-existent, and we learn that He is all-powerful. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, as Jesus spoke to His disciples, He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." We learn in Revelation chapter 19 in verse 6, "The Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Over and over again, we see the power of our God. In the beginning, the Bible says, God created the heavens and the earth. The word for God in Genesis 1:1 is the Hebrew word Elohim. It speaks of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and their creative powers over this entire world. Now, my friend, the pronouncement of our God is very simple. I am the Lord your God. I am that I am. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, this is very important, especially when you're talking to someone who comes from a background that's polytheistic. I remember the first time I met some friends from India. I was just starting in the ministry as an assistant pastor. I was taking some phone calls at the church, and someone called and said, "We need some marriage counseling." And I thought, boy, this sounds exciting, marriage counseling. And they said, "We need some help with our marriage." I said, "All right, why don't you come on in?" They came in the office, and so I reviewed some of my notes from college, and I got some of the best verses from the Bible ready, and I had a notepad on my desk. I got my pen ready, and I wanted to ask all the right questions, so I said, "Okay." I said, "Let me ask this question. How long have you been having these marital problems?" They said, 10 years. I said, "Okay, 10 years. I wrote that down. I said, "Let me ask this question. How long have you been married?" They said, 10 years. I said, "All right, 10 years. I wrote that down." And his name was Hemant and her name was Nanda. And I said, "Okay." I said, now exactly when did these problems begin?" She looked me right in the eye and she said, "The day we got married." My very first marriage counseling, I might add. And so we delved into a little more. Turns out her dad went to the market and met his dad, and they swapped some currency and shook hands, and that was an arranged marriage on earth, but apparently not in heaven, if you know what I mean. So I thought, well, the best thing I know how to help these folks do is to learn who Jesus is. So I opened the Bible and I started telling them about Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and I realized that there was an opportunity for me at that moment to have them pray and accept Jesus as their Savior. But their understanding of Jesus was not the biblical understanding yet, because having come from a polytheistic background in India, they would have accepted Jesus like they would accept an elephant or a locust. He would have been one of the gods they would have believed in. And so rather than have them pray that quick prayer, we continued to study what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. We continued to understand that he is eternal God, that he did not begin his existence in Bethlehem's manger, but that before Abraham was, he was. He says, I am. And as we began to understand who Jesus was, and as we began to realize that he not only died as all the other founders of religions in the world, but that he rose again on the third day, about four or five meetings into this marriage counseling, Hemant and Nanda prayed to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And when they made that prayer, they were turning their back on all the other gods, because they were now trusting in the God of the Bible. The pronouncement of our God, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Notice secondly, the promises of our God. Very quickly, God promises to deliver his people from Egypt. In the context that we're studying this morning, you'll notice he says in verse number 2, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. How many of you are thankful this morning that we serve a delivering God? He delivers us from sin. In this case, he delivered his children from the bondage of Egypt. He saw the need that they had. The Bible says in Exodus 3:7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand. Now here we see that he's coming down to make deliverance. Why? Because he had heard them. He had seen them. Mark this down, please. God says that he knows you and he loves you just the way you are. God saw the children here of Israel in Egypt, and he heard their cry, and he knew that they were enslaved, and he cared for them. The Bible says that they were the apple of his eye. And I believe, as we study the Abrahamic covenant, the Bible says, I will bless those who bless you concerning Israel, and I will curse those who curse you. And I believe one of the reasons God has blessed America is our friendship to Israel. In this case, God says, I hear your cry. I understand your problem. And as we come down to the teaching of the Word of God, we see that God knew their burden. A few years ago, as I said, we were over in England, and I want you to see a slide that we have here of one of the bricks from this particular era in world history that was there at the British Museum. It had a stamp in the top, King Ramses II. This was from the very era when the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt, and they were there making brick out of mud and straw, and they were many times persecuted. And God said, I heard their cry, and I delivered them out of the land of Egypt. I met the need of my people. But I've got good news for you this morning. God did not merely deliver people from their burden thousands of years ago, but God sees the burden of the world today, and he knows the greatest burden of every man or woman is the burden of sin. Listen, if God thought that our greatest need would have been an education, he would have sent an educator. If God would have noted that our greatest need was scientific, he would have sent a scientist. If God would have thought our greatest need was political, he would have sent a politician. But God knew that the greatest need of the world was the forgiveness of sin, and so he sent a Savior, you see. And God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to deliver us from our sin. Now notice there in your notes, to deliver us from sin. God delivers us. He redeems us by his grace. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm so glad that salvation is God's gift. I'm so glad it's not something I have to work for. You see, religion says, do this, do this, do this. Religion says, do all these things and you might make it to heaven. But Jesus says, done. It's already finished. I paid the price on the cross when I shed my blood for your sin. And so God says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now listen, God's part is grace. He says, I'm going to forgive you, even though you don't deserve it. That's God's part. But our part is faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. When we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, listen, God redeems those who trust in Him. And God will redeem us for His honor and glory. If you have a Bible, turn to Philippians 2:9. You'll see what I mean when I say for His honor and glory. You see, salvation is all about glorifying God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And in Philippians 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now listen, this is not about our glory. It's not about the church's glory. But one day when every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, it will bring honor and glory to God. It is about glorifying Him. And my friend, I want you to know something. You can know in your heart that one day you will spend all of eternity with the Lord in heaven. You can receive His promise of forgiveness. It is very clearly stated in the Bible. John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And my friend, it's not that difficult to understand. Look in your notes at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. Notice how clear and plain God helps us see salvation today. It says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now let's read that. That's pretty easy to understand. Verse 12, okay, ready, begin. He that hath the Son hath life, and he... Now, I like things that are simple and on the bottom shelf, okay? I haven't been able to work on a VCR or a DVD for about 5 years. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Without my teenage son and my married son, I just couldn't get those things to work, okay? I need things simplified. And here you have the gospel in a nutshell. He that has the Son has life. And this is speaking of eternal life. It doesn't say he that has church membership. It doesn't say he that gives money. It doesn't even say he who is baptized. For we know that on the cross, the Lord Jesus forgave one of the thieves, and He said, today you will be with Me in paradise, and that man was never baptized. It's not about what we do. It's about what Jesus did. And the Bible says if we have the Son, we can have life. But listen to the second part of the verse. If we have not the Son, we have not life. Friend, how important is it then to receive the Son? It is eternally important that we would receive the Son. Now, why is this so important this morning? Look at verse 13 and I'll show you. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may... What does the next word say? Okay. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Now, God who is gracious, God who is love, does not want you going through life wondering about heaven, wondering about forgiveness. He wants you to know that you have eternal life. He wants you to settle today this matter. It's something that you can know that you possess, not because you earned it, not because you deserve it, but because God gifted it to you through Jesus Christ, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Eternal life hinges on what you do with the claims of Jesus Christ. If you're going to follow polytheism, that, you know, there's lots of roads and many religions, then my friend, that is a flat out rejection of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want to be one of your gods on your God shelf. He wants you to know that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so this morning we see the pronouncement of our God. I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. We see the promise of our God. He said, I delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, and I can deliver you out of your sin. But notice finally this morning, the preeminence of our God. The preeminence, that means the first place that He deserves. Now again, Exodus 23, the first commandment, thou shalt have no gods before me. And here we see that monotheism was the basis of their personal and national blessing. And this should be the case for Christians today. Colossians 1:18 says this, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Do you know why Lancaster Baptist Church exists? So that we might lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we do a lot of things around here. We teach a lot of different Bible passages and have a lot of programs. But when you just boil it right down to the matter of fact, we are here to lift up Jesus Christ that He might have first place in our lives, in our families, and in this church. Now, when we think about the preeminence of our God, there are two final thoughts I want you to catch this morning. First, I want you to know that because of His preeminence, He is worthy of our faith. In other words, you can trust Him. You say, I'd like to have my sins forgiven. I'd like to have a home in heaven, but I'm just not sure. Well, then don't base it on anything I say. But I want you to know that you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of Jesus in Acts 4 and verse 12 this way. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Here we see the monotheistic. Here we see the scriptural admonition that there is one name given under heaven, and that name is Jesus Christ. Jesus said it this way in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. Now you say, but Pastor Chapel, someone told me that I have to go from door to door selling religious articles. Someone told me I have to give money. Someone said you have to be baptized in their church and have all your relatives baptized in their church, and you have to be baptized for all your dead relatives who couldn't make it. Someone else told me that I have to get baptized. Someone else said, and you say, there just seems to be so many ways. Isn't that just like the devil who said in the very first book of the Bible, there are other gods, Eve, you want to be one? I want you to understand there is one way to a relationship with God, and that one way is Jesus Christ. Say, well, Pastor Chapel, that is very narrow preaching. About as narrow as this book right here, you see. God has revealed Himself in the Bible. 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus Christ is the propitiation. That means Jesus Christ is the covering for sin. That is to say, when His blood was shed, it was not the blood of the Adamic bloodline of sin. His blood was the blood that came forth from the Holy Spirit. And when the blood of Jesus was shed, it was efficacious. It was a covering for the sins of the entire world. And so when we trust in Him, we can know that we have salvation. Now watch this. Some people have trouble by putting their whole faith in Jesus Christ. There's something about our human nature that says, okay, I need to believe on Jesus Christ, but there's got to be some other stuff too. And so we kind of trust in Christ like I would trust in this chair to hold me up, but you know, just in case we want to maybe get baptized or we want to do some good things, because when we get to heaven, there's going to be a weight, we think, and the good will outweigh the bad, and if it's real good, we'll get up into heaven. We have all these thoughts. So we trust in Jesus, but we want to add to that something else. My friend, if you trust in Jesus and add anything else, it ceases to be grace. And now it's back to your works again. It's like a family who wanted their Uncle Oscar to come visit them. But Oscar was afraid to fly in airplanes. He said, I'd love to come see you, but I'm not going to fly in an airplane. Well, finally they got up some money and Oscar got up the courage and got on that plane. Boy, when he landed at Los Angeles, the family was there. They wanted to know how the flight was, and Oscar said, well, it wasn't as bad as I thought it might be, but I'll tell you what, I never put my weight completely down. How silly would that be? And how silly is it when Jesus says, I have paid for your sins in full, for someone to try to pay for their own sin through their good works? And people around the world are trying this morning. They're crawling up the stairs of churches until their knees bleed. They're beating themselves on the back with whips. They're counting all kinds of prayer cards and beads. They're doing anything and everything to try to find forgiveness and hope. And Jesus says, hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's worthy of your trust this morning. And by the way, He's worthy of our worship this morning. You say, I've already trusted Jesus Christ. Then I want to commend you for being here to worship Him today. For the Bible says in Isaiah 42 and verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. You see, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another. That's why when the Reformation fires began to burn across Europe, that's why men like Wycliffe and Huss and others said, we are not going to have churches with idols on the wall. We are not going to have idolatry. We're not going to have people praying to these idols as an intercessor to God. There is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, and it is the man Christ Jesus. And they said, we will not have these idols in the church. And you go today and find where the Reformation fires burned, and you will see there are no idols in those churches. Men and women died lest they would have those idols in their churches. What I'm saying is this, the glory belongs to God and no one else. It's His glory for saving us. Well, may I say this morning, the pronouncement of God is clear. He is the true God, the self-sustaining God. May I say the promise of God is true. He can deliver you from your sin and He can forgive you today, just like He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And may I say to you, the preeminence of God is standing sure. It is a true doctrine that He is first place and that every knee will bow to Him. And may I say to you this morning, you can trust Him today. You can put Him first in your life by receiving Him today as your Savior and your Lord. The first time I really dealt with someone who had a many roads philosophy, somewhat of a polytheistic philosophy, was when I was a teenager. Our youth group was very evangelistic. We would go out and talk about the Lord and pass out tracts. One day, the youth pastor loaded us up on a bus, and he said, all right, we're going to go to the East Ridge Mall in San Jose, California. He said, it's rainy outside. We'll just walk through the mall and witness to people. And that's back before they had a lot of laws to stop you from doing that and so forth. So he said, all right, let's go. We were on fire for Jesus. We wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. Well, we got to the mall parking lot, and the rain had let up, and so there was a lady not far from the bus, and I went over to her, and I gave her a gospel tract, and I told her what church we were from. I said, ma'am, do you mind if I ask you a question? She said, go right ahead. I said, well, ma'am, I said, do you know that if you were to die, whether or not you'd spend eternity in heaven or hell, or do you know? And she looked at me, and she said, well, she said, son, let me explain it to you this way. She said, heaven is a lot like this mall. Now, right there, I begin to understand the theological tendencies of women. And that was her documentation. Heaven is a lot like this mall. I said, okay. She said, you know, there's a lot of roads that get you to this mall, but all the roads ultimately will get you to this mall. And she says, there's a lot of different roads and religions, but ultimately, they'll all find their way to heaven. Now, my friend, if that's true, we might as well close this book, close this church, and just go fishing next week. But I must tell you, the philosophy that all roads are going to get you there is a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus Christ is very clear in His exclusive claims. Whosoever believeth on Me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't fall for that trap that everyone's going to get there somehow. Make sure that your faith has been placed firmly in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure that you are trusting in Jesus alone for your salvation today. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that in a world filled with secularism, pluralism, and polytheism, that Your truth stands. And we thank You that You are trustworthy. And we pray that You would speak to hearts just now.
You've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. We're currently studying a series entitled, Which Faith? We're studying the differences between the humanistic, globalistic philosophies of our day and the truth of the Word of God. And friend, of course, the most important truth of this series and the question we're wrestling with is, who do you place your faith in? Have you placed your personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to be your personal Savior? That's the greatest question you could ever consider. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that number is 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.